Welcome to my commentary on Peter's first epistle. This section, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. Last section, we noted that Peter was saying, Christians, submit to your pagan government. This section, he's saying, Christian slaves, submit to your masters, whether they are evil or good. Verse 18 says, slaves, submit. Again, the word submit, hupotasso, meaning to rank yourself under. Rank yourself under your masters. Masters here is from the Greek evil masters. It's not good masters. It's specifically an evil master. With all respect. Peter is telling these guys to respect your evil masters. In our Western world, this is really hard to get our heads around because, for the most part, we have gotten by slavery. The Civil War in the United States got us by that problem, but not so in Peter's day. They were used to slaves. Matter of fact, it has been said in the Roman Empire in this day and age, when Peter wrote, there were probably at least 600 million slaves. Slaves was just a part of the fabric of the Roman Empire and really the fabric of empires in the past. When an empire conquered another empire, the conquered empire became slaves. That's just the way it was. To abolish slavery in Peter's day would really be the disintegration of the Roman Empire. That brings us really to this subject. Why doesn't the New Testament promote the abolishment of slavery? Why didn't Peter and Paul speak out against the idea of slavery? Why do they say submit to your masters? Well, I think the number one reason is this. The New Testament teaches, Paul teaches, Peter teaches, the way to change society is through one soul at a time coming to Jesus. Jesus told the 12 to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. So the point is, society is changed by individual people giving their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, Paul, James, Stephen, and the rest did not change society by running for parliament, by social means. Now, of course, in their day, they couldn't run for parliament. There was no format available for a man to become a politician to promote his personal thinking or his group's personal thinking. There was no such thing as a democratic society as we know it today. So therefore, Peter, Paul couldn't change society by that vehicle. They had to change society by winning one soul to Jesus at a time. And really, that was their mandate. That is also our mandate. We do have the ability today to be elected to public office where we may have some influence. In this day and age, that influence is becoming less and less, but we still have that opportunity and we can use it if we are called. But even if we are called to a public position, we need to understand our first priority, our first biblical mandate is to win one individual to Jesus at a time. I remember asking Ern Baxter in about 1988. Ern Baxter was a prominent Bible teacher in the 1970s and 80s in the charismatic movement. I asked him, what do you think of Pat Robertson trying to become president of the United States? He told me this, I have no problem with Pat Robertson attempting to become president. If he becomes president, he must realize that he has just taken a demotion from being a preacher of the gospel to being the president of the United States. I think the way Ern Baxter put it tells the story pretty plainly. It tells you what New Testament thinking is concerning this matter. So here we have Peter in verse 18 saying to the Christian saved to submit to their masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. We need to understand what the word commendable here is in reference to. It's not the unjust suffering that is commendable, but it is bearing up under the unjust suffering that is commendable. Why? It's because the presence of God is with us. If we do not experience the presence of God apart from suffering, when the suffering comes, it might be quite likely that we aren't going to experience His presence then, and bearing up under the unjust suffering, well, we might not be able to do that. Peter is saying, God views it as a commendable thing if you be strong in Him when you are dealt an unfair injustice. He goes on to say in verse 20, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Again, he says it's commendable. The simple point here is that if you do wrong, you deserve the beating. So don't complain about it. You deserve it. But if you receive a beating unjustly, then if you can bear up, stand proud and strong under the stress of the suffering, then that's commendable. In our day and age, we could say it's similar suffering in our Antichrist culture. If we suffer unjustly, we need to stand up, bear under the suffering, and God will commend us for it. If our suffering is due to our own stupidity, well, that's a different situation altogether. We should change our stupid ways, and then we wouldn't suffer. Now, we can also take suffering beyond suffering persecution. It can't be any kind of suffering, sickness, poverty, whatever we find ourselves stressed out over that wasn't there because of our stupidity. We need to bear up under it, and God views that as being commendable. If you are sick, and if Jesus deems it His will not to heal you, then you bear up under the stress of that sickness, and you rejoice, and God will commend you for that. And here's the reason why. In verse 21, Peter says, to this you were called. In our Prosperity Movement Church, Hyper Faith, Westernized, Laodicean-style church, we do not view suffering as a calling from God. Peter says it's a calling from God. He has called you to suffer, and we know the reason, because the suffering provides the opportunity for our trust in Jesus to be tested. So verse 21, he says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. If we suffer, and especially suffer persecution from an antichrist culture as Jesus Himself did, we should be rejoicing because we are following in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very steps that the New Testament tells us to follow. We are called to this kind of suffering. Now, in times past, in Western nations, we have been influenced by the Reformation, where Judeo-Christian thinking has influenced our society. But now that Judeo-Christian influence is being taken out of our society, we can expect to be called to such suffering. And when it happens, we need to understand we are following in the steps of our Savior. This ends this section.